Welcome to the Full Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It is 2:56 p.m. and that is a central time, and today is December 15th. Well, I closed out my shorts today, and I was glad I did because the market kept going up shortly after the Fed decision. And then we can think about what's happening in terms of the yield curve. What I think is interesting is that the Federal Reserve doesn't pay much attention to it. Jay Powell today, he was very clear in stating, when someone asked him, what about the yield curve? And he basically passed over the question and said, yeah, yields are low. There's not a lot we can do about it. And on a comparative basis, look at how low yields are in Japan and in the EU. So you can even hedge the currency risk and still come out ahead. So that was his explanation for why yields at the long end are low. But one thing that we'd certainly know is that there was a peak in March of this year. It was in excess of 150 basis points. The spread right now is around 79. So the yield curve spread has basically already priced in 3 25 basis point interest rate hikes. And it looks like at least a medium term peak. And it could quite easily be the peak for this cycle. So it's unlikely that we're going to have the same length of time before the next inversion as we had the last time, because the spread peaked in 2010 and it trended downwards for 9 years before becoming inverted. Well, given the pace with which the spread is continuing to contract, it might be inverted within the next couple of years. And then that would be a lead indicator for a recession at some point within the next 6 to 18 months after the inversion, which when we think about the inversion that we had in 2019, well, it was only a 6-month lead time because we had the pandemic recession in February, March of 2020. So then it's also worth considering that during the time when the yield curve spread starts to trend through 100 basis points, so we can start to think about that from 2017 through to 2019, and we had a strong stock market performance all the way through 2017, bit of volatility in 2018, but still strong performances overall. Then we had a strong performance in the stock market in 2005 through 2006. So it's reasonable to anticipate that because you still have strong growth and employment continues to rise, and the Federal Reserve is not all that worried about the participation rate, because they thought it was artificially high before the end of the last expansion, and that they anticipate that now you're getting catch-up because of people retiring. So as long as they have a strong economy and they have a strong labor market, they're not going to be all that worried about the lower yields overall. And they think that they are starting to combat inflationary pressures, and they do anticipate that inflationary pressures are going to come down next year. And it's well understood at this stage that the inflation is coming as a result of demand. And demand manifests itself for a number of different reasons. So during the pandemic, lots of people moved house and found themselves in an odd set of circumstances. And they never had anticipated that they would have the opportunity or the necessity to work from home. And yet they found themselves in that condition in a very short period of time. And it required a lot of demand for all sorts of consumer electronics and durable stuff. So we had this extraordinary advance in semiconductors. Now, demand growth continues to be priced in here. And if we just look at the performance that we had today, we had an initial decline and then it popped straight back up again by the end of the day. So this is continuing to look like a strong advance overall. And as long as it's holding the breakout, we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. But ultimately, that demand for, or excess demand is going to be eroded. And nothing has occurred to question the view that this is a cyclical sector. So the demand growth outlook for semiconductors is extremely dependent on demand from the automotive sector ramping higher, and that the supply and manufacturing of automotives and cars and trucks is going to increase substantially next year. So that's obviously something that everyone needs to pay attention to. Then, of course, when we talk about higher interest rates overall, well, then that's beneficial for financials. And because Ethereum had an upside key today, well, it's likely to also boost demand for graphics cards, which was behind the advance that we saw in Nvidia. And that's a really quite impressive move that we had today in Ethereum. And it's the biggest upside reversal we've seen. And it's bigger than the one, in fact, that we saw in early December. So it suggests that there's a low of at least near-term significance. But generally speaking, when we have rising interest rates, well, it's beneficial for financials generally. And the buy now, pay later sector is beginning to find support. So Affirm, which is one of the more popular buy now, pay later companies, looks like it's putting in a higher reaction low, having unwound most of its overbought condition relative to the trend mean. PayPal has also pulled back in a very abrupt manner over the course of the last while, and now it looks due a relief rally. So there's certainly the potential that it can rebound back up towards the 200-day moving average, and then quite whether it will have the wherewithal to be able to sustain a move above that level, well then that remains to be seen. So we can also start to think about the broader sector for financials, and it remains in a clear uptrend and bouncing from the most recent of the higher reaction lows. So as long as the Federal Reserve remains predictable, and as long as they aren't overly aggressive in raising rates, and he certainly today rolled back from any discussion of quantitative tightening, well then it would be reasonable to anticipate that the market will persist higher from here, and that valuations will in fact get even more egregiously higher. And by the time we roll around to a point where we do have an inverted yield curve, valuations are likely to be substantially higher than they are today. So with financials starting to perk up, it was also notable that gold reversed its earlier decline and finished in positive territory. So bouncing today from the $1,750 area, and gold shares were really quite weak in here this morning, and they were trading below the $30 area, but this also looks like a large tail on the candle, which suggests that there's certainly potential for a rebound and at least a reversionary rally, but potentially more than that if gold can continue to march higher from here. Oil prices also reversed an earlier decline today and finished in positive territory. So certainly something that we've seen, and over the course of the last couple of weeks, has been some risk-off activity. And now that the Fed meeting is out of the way and we are 2 weeks away from the end of the year, then perhaps people are willing to buy the dips now in order to lock in some profits before the end of the year when the end-of-year reports are written. And natural gas prices in the UK continue to march higher. They were up another 11p in here today, and US natural gas prices are just beginning to steady, but struggling to do so. And it's inevitable that the arbitrage is going to close eventually, but of course it is dependent on lots of additional supply of LNG reaching Europe. With Wall Street beginning to steady and bond yields really stable in here, they didn't move a lot today because I think everyone was already pricing in the potential for the taper and for interest rates to rise next year. But the 10-year yield is at 1.45%. So that's obviously what a lot of people are paying attention to. And the most relevant for the US government is going to be the 5-year because it matches the duration of its debt. And it was in positive territory, but only very barely in here today, and continues to hold around the 1.25% level. And it's still an uptrend overall. So the longer end of the curve is not willing to give credence to the inflationary pressures, and it looks increasingly likely that inflationary pressures will moderate next year because people just don't need to have a new computer every year. They don't need to have new household appliances every year. So it would require a really aggressive economic expansion and particularly an awful lot of home building in order to justify that continued excess demand. So it's likely that inflationary pressures will moderate, and the Federal Reserve will view that as a victory, and they may then decide that they've done enough in terms of raising rates. But one thing for sure is that if the 5-year yield continues higher, it's going to put upward pressure on the cost of servicing the national debt. And the national debt in 2021 in the USA is already back at where it was in 2019, but there's at least a 50 basis point difference in the rate. So if we get the yield going higher by another 50 basis points, we're going to be at record highs for servicing the national debt in the USA. And then we can think about what's happening in China. We've had the completely inert environment in the renminbi over the course of the last 2 days. And the CSI real estate sector is looking quite weak. It's been hovering in the region of the lower side of the 6-year range for most of the last few months, and it was in negative territory this week, although squeezing out a positive return today. And we continue to see that the number of property developers in China that are under severe stress continues to rise. And so far, they've been rather reluctant to do very much about it. So they're providing assistance where it's absolutely needed. And they're being rather parsimonious with their assistance. And of course, that's helping to support the currency. But retail sales are starting to deteriorate. And a number of the US listed Chinese companies were also in negative territory over the course of the last while. Now, they are beginning to steady today on the back of greater demand from the wider technology sector. And Baidu is right in the region of its lows. JD.com is coming off its lows in here today. And Alibaba had already put in a higher reaction low and is beginning to steady as well. Then it's likely that some of these companies will benefit from a more enthusiastic environment in the USA. But the bigger question is, when is China going to open the spigot and start to be more supportive for the high yield sector? And this is probably going to be a 2020, 2022, sorry, question. And it will go some way towards answering where is the next round of liquidity going to come from. But so far, they've been reluctant, and it's weighing on the stock market. And when we think about the regular CSI 300, it had popped on the upside earlier this week or late last week, and then has started to come back down again. So that's not really encouraging action, and ideally it will need to bounce tomorrow in order to demonstrate support in the region of the upper side of the underlying range. And we've had some trend deterioration in some of the Japanese indices as well, and the second section is below the 200-day moving average, but it's beginning to offer some support here. But it's going to look a lot healthier if it can sustain a move back above the 7600 level, which would begin to confirm that we're back in a demand-dominated environment. As we think about what's likely over the course of 2022, infrastructure development is likely to take off, and copper prices, having pulled back rather sharply over the course of this week, are still holding the region of the 200-day moving average. And a number of the leading decliners today were companies like Albemarle, and the lithium sector has done spectacularly well, and we might get some consolidation, but it's still a secular bull market overall. If inflationary pressures are mitigated and interest rates don't rise aggressively, well, then that's likely to be beneficial for infrastructure development on a global basis. And we're in that point in the cycle when demand for resources should start to ramp upwards, and it's quite likely that that will happen over the course of the next year. So we've gone through a couple of weeks of risk off, and it's looking increasingly likely that we're now back in a risk-on environment. It's been a very choppy environment overall, but as long as the consistent trend on the Nasdaq remains in place, then I don't think that most investors are going to be all that worried. And the Nasdaq, having bounced from the region of the upper side of the underlying range again, then that's really quite encouraging action. So as long as the lows really from today hold, then we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. And I think with that, I'll leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.